You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside my partner, Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday, Jay. I don't think anybody can accuse us of being a single-minded show. We have a varied show today.
We do. We're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk some volleyball. And then we're going to talk
about other stuff.
Yeah, all that other stuff going on out there. Oh, my God. We are being pulled in so many different directions with the way different states are handling what's going on with the pandemic. You know, in one breath, we get Governor Doug Ducey saying, okay, we can start playing pro sports in Arizona after May 15 without fans, albeit, but, you know, that he's saying, okay, you can play baseball or whatever you want to do. And then, you know, in the last couple of hours, the state of California says none of its state universities, the University of California system and the California state system, are going to have students on campus in the fall, which bodes not very well for any college sports in California.
Yeah, I think yesterday we were pretty optimistic. Today, not so much. We've been cut at the knees.
We were optimistic. I think it seemed like there, you know, things were moving in a good direction slowly, but the announcement today from California just says there aren't going to be any students on the state university campuses.
And everybody that you've listened to have heard said that if there's no students on campus, there will be no sports.
Exactly. Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, was on the Dan Patrick show this morning, and he seemed pretty confident. I don't think he thought that this announcement from the California schools was coming today. He was being cautious like everybody else and saying, you know, there's a lot of time and a lot of things that have to happen. But, you know, we're here in May and you've already got the university saying we're not going to have students on campus in August and September.
So. That's funny. If we're still talking about this a month from now, you know they ain't playing.
Yeah. And I just don't know what they're going to do. And I think people are going to start coming up with other scenarios. You know, you start seeing people talking about, well, then, you know, there's no California schools in the Pac-12 this year. I mean, can that really happen?
and guys, didn't the governor of Oregon say that no sports at least until September?
He did too, yes. Yes, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, the governor did say that no large gatherings, so basically no stadiums would have fans in them through at least September. But, the next day, the athletic director at Oregon State said, we're not canceling our September home game. So, again, you know, we're getting yanked in a lot of different directions on this. And really what's happening is that people just still don't know, but you have people making decisions now.
So I was listening to Ducey on the press conference today when he talked about the pro teams being allowed to come back. And I said, okay, that's like me saying, I'm ready for Miss America to come and date me. That ain't happening because you know baseball's not going to come anytime soon.
Well, you know, who knows what's going to happen over there. And, you know, then baseball's not only got the issue of, you know, can we play with this pandemic, but now, you know, there's a proposal on the table and the players are having none of it.
Right.
So now on top of having it complicated by what's going on with the pandemic, it's a money issue.
Right.
It's a money issue in Major League Baseball, and money might get in the way of having some baseball this fall.
You know, when it's a money issue, it's going to be not good.
Nah, it's not going to be fun at all.
No, and then my guy Tom Callahan on the other side showed this, that the WBC, something that was going to happen here about a month ago, and tryouts and playoff games here for the World Baseball Congress, is likely to be canceled next year.
Yeah, and you know, again,
it's like a drip.
It's a slow drip, and you know, we're getting, you know, some of those are getting us right in the eye because we're really starting to see, you know, again, as we said a couple of days ago, little dominoes are starting to fall in different directions. But you know, the there's a lot of conflict in terms of, you know, what one state is doing versus what another state is doing, and you can bet that the SEC, they're going full bore.
Right, that's what I saw when the Alabama nothing because they play USC in the opener, so they're going to try to scramble to get somebody else
to
start the season.
So it's going to be interesting to see if some of the schools that decide they're not going to have students on campus and therefore not have athletes on campus, that they're just going to be excluded and that the conferences are still going to go forward.
So,
and then what that's going to do.
Yeah, so here we are March or May 13th, 12th or whatever, with the opening up of some states more and more, with reports of more issues with the coronavirus seeping through. It's just a whole can of new worms.
It is, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see where we as a society are going to be willing to continue to do, what price we're willing to pay for
that's
everything
it right there.
Else. And we're not here to kind of, go into all that, from a political standpoint, but it is an issue and different areas are going to do things differently. And there's really no uniformity to any of this, as much as people are trying to say there is. That was one of the points Larry Scott was making this morning. The conferences in issues like this have always been very uniform in their approach, together in their approach. Well, clearly, they're not. Clearly, the California schools are thinking one thing. The Arizona schools are thinking something else. Mm-hmm. You got Oregon schools thinking something else. There is no uniformity to any of this. And I'm sure they're talking because everybody says they're talking, but I want to know what they're saying.
Right.
What's everybody hearing? How did Larry Scott not know that the California schools were about to make this decision today?
How early was that? Was that early this morning?
Well, Dan Patrick comes on early. It ends at 9, and Larry Scott was in the last segment. So he came on about 8:30 our time this morning.
Yeah, so this broke about 4 o'clock.
Yeah, but how did he not know?
Or was informed?
During the interview, he said, we're talking every day. We're talking to the schools. We're talking to the chancellors. We're talking to the presidents. We're talking to the athletic directors. Everybody's talking. How did he not know that this was going to happen today?
We could be getting an email from David Hirsch
I don't know.
In the next hour, just from a statement from Mr. Scott.
So I'm be interesting to see what the reaction is. Maybe we'll hear something from the Pac-12 tomorrow, based on what's been said today. Because this is not the direction that we thought we were going just 24 hours ago.
No. But we've said this. It's always fluid. The line in the sand gets drawn, and then it gets messed up.
Well, that's it. We've been saying all along that this is fluid, and it is something that we just don't know day to day what we're going to hear.
Right. Well, the most consistent thing has been the inconsistency. We're in mid-May, and the mid-May and the commencement and all that's happening now is a quick turnaround before they come back on campus in 2.5 months.
Right. We've got students who are going to get to watch their graduation online today. I've got a daughter graduating, getting a bachelor's at the U of A, and she's coming over to our house, and we're going to have a brunch. And we're going to watch.
Tomorrow?
Friday. It's Friday, and we're going to watch it. And it's, it's a weird thing.
It's and you can't even have a party.
It's sad. And we can't. We'd love to have our family over and stuff like that. And it's really going to be our immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we just can't take that chance.
Right. No, it makes perfect sense. And you got to be safe. Like thousands of other ones out there doing the same
thing. I mean, we're all in that boat. So it's not like, oh, woe is us. We're all in that boat, and it's unfortunate that we're in it.
Right. Hopefully things change in the next couple of months so a lot of things can get back to normal. Today's news is not good, though. Hey, let's take a quick break here. Come back with President Bob Hoffman of the Roadrunners here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here with Jay and Steve. Now we have Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners, on the phone. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Well, thanks for joining us. I don't think I've ever had you on the show. Welcome.
No, I don't think so. I think the first time. I think Walt's been on a few times.
Yes.
I'm happy to join you.
Great to have you. Good to have you. This year has been kooky, crazy, whatever word you want to use. You guys were doing a fantastic job until the plug was pulled.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the buildup from even early November where, we started to take off and win a whole bunch of hockey games. We were winning on the road, which is always good early in the season. Obviously doing well in front of the home fans as well. And then in first place from, you know, somewhere in November all the way through the rest of the season. And we got to that point where the plug was pulled, as you mentioned. It was March the 11th. We played a home game. Kind of that night was when the things happened in Oklahoma City with the Utah Jazz and the right. Oklahoma City Blazers. So we kind of knew something was going to wrong, and something pretty unprecedented was going to happen in the coming days. And we sent our staff home on March the 12th, and really the rest of the country has been right there with us ever since.
Bob, it couldn't have been a surprise. I mean, I think everybody was hoping for the best all along. But when did you really start thinking we were in big trouble and that we might not be playing again?
I kind of had in my internal clock, April the 1st was going to be a very pivotal date for us in looking and saying, you know, if we're not really moving in the right direction with this virus and trending to where we think that there could be a return by the end of April, we would start planning that and seeing those positive signs by early April. And we were seeing just the opposite, as you guys, I know, are well aware. It's everything started moving in the other direction, with certainly significant numbers of sicknesses and deaths. And you knew that it was coming to Arizona in a little bit more of a capacity probably shortly thereafter that. So I kind of figured in early April, you're right, everyone kind of knew this was coming with it. It's nice to have that finality, at least, that we don't have to keep waiting and thinking, what if? We've been really working in our planning for 2020-21 for the last several weeks regardless. So now it's just kind of official that's exactly where we're looking, and unfortunately we have to pull the plug on this year.
Bob, I know it's a little early as far as knowing anything like a start date or something like that, but what steps are you taking right now with the club for that next season?
Yeah, you're right. It's challenging because you have so many models and different things that you're looking at, and really you have to kind of anticipate for everything. I mean, in a perfect world, everything trends in the right direction, and we start as a society, figuring out how to make sure we can mitigate these risks from a health standpoint, and trying to figure out what's the best scenario for that, and we can start in October. That's the ideal world. Now, how that'll happen over the next 90 days, we don't know, and we'll have to see what's the safest option for all. But we are looking at models throughout the American Hockey League that have different start dates throughout, whether it's pushing it back a little bit. And certainly we're going to play a big part in keeping an eye on the National Hockey League and seeing how they choose to handle this as well, because a big function of what the Roadrunners do is to develop young players, and that needs to be in simultaneous with the Coyotes and what their schedule is. It wouldn't do any good to be playing 60 days away from them if they started late. More than likely, I can imagine we'd be starting late.
Along those lines, and pardon me for the naive question, it seems like your league, some other leagues, have a safety net because you guys are tied to the Coyotes. The Sugar Skulls are not tied to anybody. The XFL isn't tied to anybody. Is that accurate? And is there comfort with that?
You know, it's funny. I would absolutely say it's accurate. There's no study done on it, or people aren't really looking at that from different levels to see who's safer or who's not, for example. But there's reality to that. I mean, it's nice to have that connection and structure and support from the Coyotes, and obviously ownership groups from at the major league level, whether the NBA, NHL, NFL, wherever, obviously have significant strength from a financial standpoint, and can probably weather the storm more so than folks that maybe are not tied to those leagues or to those ownership groups. So there is definitely support there. Now, having said that, this has certainly hit everybody, in different ways. And from the Roadrunner standpoint, it's impactful for sure, to say the least, to lose the last six games in what could have been a promising postseason. But I do think that there is some comfort to know that, we have that support up in Glendale. I know that support runs deep from in the regular season when things are going great and things are fine. We have them to be able to lean on and utilize some of their resources. And then it comes with the good and the bad. So now that we're in a time of darkness and some struggle, it also works in our favor as well.
Bob, at the top of the show, Steve and I were talking about how we're being pulled in a lot of different directions here. You had Governor Ducey saying, after May 15, pro teams can start playing again, albeit with no fans. You've got California schools saying that they're not going to have students on campus. So there's still a lot left to happen and stuff like that. But, you had your season end with this. There's still not a guarantee that your season can begin on time or begin with fans in the seats. And so, how hard is it going to be to get ready for the next season? And what kinds of things are you going to be doing? Contingencies, what kind of contingencies are you going to put in place? And I don't want to sound like doom and gloom, but really, when you hear about how things are going to be and how uncertain they are right now, I mean, there's not even a guarantee that your season will start on time or you'll be able to be playing in front of fans when the season gets going again.
No, you're exactly right. And that's the toughest part is that the not knowing, even if somebody would put out there and say you won't start until, just as a hypothetical date, January 1st, 2021, well, at least we have that in mind. There's a solid date and we know what we're planning for. Right now, we know that we're, scheduled to play the weekend of October the 9th. And we've got to get ready and focused so that we're prepared to be able to do that. But you're right, the way that things look and what you're hearing from the medical professionals and, from the CDC makes that challenging. And really, for all sports leagues, we're not playing, you mentioned Doug Ducey and talking about the state of Arizona and opening up for business. We have to kind of look at that across the landscape of our 31-team league to see how that is impacted. We have five teams in the state of California. So you mentioned California and I've, at one point their governor was mentioning that he didn't see organized sports, mm-hmm. Through the end of the year.
Right.
So you have to figure that out how it plays. I don't, see a scenario where you come to the plate with, just the cities that are, able to do it. And the rest of them are just, sitting on the sidelines. There's got to be some way, some type of equity that's in there to be able to state that all 31 teams can operate in some fashion. And those timelines are just so very different. We have teams, from the East Coast all the way out to California. So it's going to be interesting to see how those pieces, kind of fall into place and see where how things play out.
Bob, where are you getting your direction from? Who are you hearing from in terms of, how how you guys are being handled? Is it, from the NHL, from, from the team, from the Coyotes? You're getting information from somewhere about, what you need to be doing and what you can expect. Where's that coming from for you guys?
We really have three different sources that we get it from. First and foremost, the American Hockey League is a tremendous hockey league. It's underrated as far as leagues go. It's the second best hockey league in the world, hands down, compared to any European league, any Russian league. It is fantastic, and they have a great front office, and they operate essentially at the level of the National Hockey League with their professionalism and how they handle things. So they're right on it. They have a task force within the American Hockey League. We have regular calls with the executive committee. We have regular board of governor calls. We have calls within departments within the league. So we do hear quite a bit from them and talk things out with, how they see things in the future. And that's obviously important because they're the ones that have the best picture of the landscape of all 31 member teams. We then also have the Coyotes, which is a great resource to see what the National Hockey League is planning through all of their meetings, and the Coyotes involved in all that and working in unison with them is how we'll approach it in the state of Arizona. And then just the guidance from within, from the governor. The White House has talked of the governors being in control of their states and being able to put out those precedents and those rules and regulations and to follow the guidelines. So we're listening to that and following the governor and, keeping an eye on that as well. So really it comes from a lot of different places. We want to make sure from the health officials that things are opened up and that we're ready to be able to move in a direction that's safe. And that the governor will give us that guidance. And then how that information translates to the National Hockey League, to the Coyotes, and to the American Hockey League, and from their league office down to us, is what we're listening to.
First of all, just I want to make a comment that I think Commissioner Dave Andrews has done a tremendous job with the American Hockey League, and his leadership has been tremendous. And Bob, if you want to comment on that, but I got a question first. If the NHL resumes, and I know that's a big if, but if they finish this season, as far as having a pool of players, black aces, if you will, a practice squad, whatever it is, possibly made up of some Roadrunners players to cover for injuries and what have you. Do you have any idea how that might work? Is there any word about how, you know, the logistics of it would come to pass?
Yeah, you're right on the money with that. I mean, there's nothing that's been detailed as far as a plan of action as to roster numbers, you know, the size of a team or a pool of players that would be kind of a reserve group. But I think you'd have to have that in play in some fashion. You're going to have guys that are, you know, being rushed back from maybe time off. Who knows what their training regimen has been like. They'll have that pause there that it's a very difficult thing to come right back from to jump on the ice. So you're going to want to make sure that you have that depth and that bench, so to speak, that you can draw from. And those players that would be on that bench and the people that they could pull into play would be, you know, obviously from the Roadrunners. So I do see that as a very logical scenario in some fashion, whether that's, you know, a handful of five reserves or whether that's, you know, a handful of 15 reserves. I don't know exactly what that'll play out and where it'll look to, but I really think that is, you know, something that you would see if the NHL does resume. And to your point about Dave Andrews, just to echo that, I know he's a very, you know, the American Hockey League being a minor league system, it's not as well known, and you don't, you know, have that familiarity of a Gary Bettman or an Adam Silver, of, you know, of a Roger Goodell. But Dave Andrews has been with the league 25 years and is retiring this year. His last day of service actually to the league will be June 30th this summer here. And I feel so awful that that's the way that it ends for Dave, unfortunately, with how things have transpired in this 2019-20 season. But impossible shoes to fill, big shoes, and we're going to miss him in the league and miss his guidance and leadership. And I guess the only blessing to that is that he is still at the post to guide us through these tough times right now.
Bob, we have about 90 seconds left. Let me circle back to the first question I asked. At least you guys had almost a wire-to-wire, if not a wire-to-wire, first place all year. Gives you hope for next year, yes?
Yeah, there is some satisfaction to know that as the Pacific Division champs for the second time in 3 years, to know that we were well on our way to winning that division again, and seeing what could have happened in the playoffs, we'll never know. But absolute, things are being done the right way and growing the sport in Tucson, as well as growing the young players in that minor league system. Takes some work and some time, and what the John Chayka and the Coyotes have done to grow the system and make it a winning organization is certainly something that I think is going to be planted for very, very, you know, many years to come.
Bob, I appreciate your time. Good. Don't be a stranger. I guess that's on us, isn't it?
We'll have you back. I'd love to jump. This was a lot of fun, guys. I really appreciate it. Anytime you'd like
we appreciate
talk hockey or talk Roadrunners, let me know.
We'll talk Kent State.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk Golden Flashes next time.
We appreciate it, Bob. You know, best of luck. We hope all this comes together for you guys.
Thanks, guys. Same to you all.
Take yes, care. Thank you very much. That was Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners. That's interesting. I mean, everybody's going through it. You saw it. Come on. There's no answers.
Know, there are no answers, you know. And, I mean, I feel his pain. You know, we at the Sugar Skulls, we never got the season going. But, you know, the uncertainty was the hardest thing to deal with.
Right.
It was really tough for that period of time.
Not knowing is always in anything. Is the problem.
Right.
Because you take a right, well, should have taken a left. Maybe not. Maybe take a left, take a right. Who knows? But good segment. Thanks, Tom, for joining in. We'll come back on the other side on 1030 The Voice. Talk to Dave Rubio. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera along with Jay Gonzalez. And now we have great guest David Rubio of the U of A volleyball team. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. How about yourself?
Fine, thank you. Welcome to the show again. I love you as a guest. Now you have Jay as my co-host.
Dave, I'm here to bug you about a lot of things. So right at the top of this, I want to make sure that we're going to have some time to talk about ballroom dancing. Okay, so I want to go through your volleyball and talk about your volleyball team and you know the some good things that have been happening over there. But we're going to have to get to the ballroom dancing. We can't let that go by. Is that all right?
That's fine. I'm regretting maybe that I put that out there, but certainly I'd be more than happy to speak about my ballroom experiences.
Well, you can't let degenerates like us get our hands on stuff like that. So I'm just going to tell you that, you know, it's out there. So, you know, we're going to get on it, but let's talk about your volleyball team. First of all, you got your season done and, you know, before all this came along, obviously looking forward to a great season coming up with a top ranked recruiting class. But so, So what what's it been like for you? You know, you weren't one of the spring sports that got canceled, you know, those kinds of things. So you've had, what have you been doing to kind of get yourselves ready for 2020 with all the uncertainty that's going on?
Well, it's been, I think there's certainly been some good parts about this in terms of being with the family more than I normally would be. And so I have three young kids, and so that part's been really good. And certainly being, you know, around them and in an atmosphere that's, I think, pretty conducive for us to build on our relationships here. My mom moved in recently, just before they shut things down in California. So that part was really good. In terms of the team and the preparation for this upcoming fall, certainly there's a lot of uncertainty that goes with the timing of when we're going to start and when we're going to allow to be on campus. And you know, a lot of those questions are still unanswered. But we're, you know, doing our part. We're getting ready as if our season's going to start August 10th, which is what the date would be if we didn't have to go through what we're going through right now. We're doing a lot of Zoom meetings like everybody else and talking to our incoming 2020 class and talking with our returning players as well. So we're on a lot of meetings with them. And, you know, right now as it, you know, time goes by and each week goes by and each month goes by, we're getting closer to that start time, the proposed start time. And so a lot of discussion and organizing right now.
Yeah, no question. It's I don't know if you're in your mind, you have a date that you say, okay, maybe July 15th, July 20th. Everyone talks about football. Everyone's football, basketball. But you guys are a big, integral part of the UA program, obviously. Is there any kind of date that you say, okay, they got to make a decision by this date?
Well, you know, we're like everybody, we're modeling what that date's going to look like or when that date might be, and then you know, trying to plan for some contingencies should that date not work out. But you're right. I mean, it really comes down to football and when football starts, because we're going to run side by side most likely with football. And I think whenever they give the date for football, then we'll be allowed to be on campus and start training as well. And so I think the football coaches, what I'm hearing is the beginning of July is when they like to get their kids on campus. Summer session two starts July 13th. And for us, that's kind of a drop dead date for us if we're going to start sometime and our normal start date of try to get our kids back on campus and in the weight room and start the strength and conditioning part of it. But we'll see. We just don't know when that start date's going to be. And my feeling is we're going to have a somewhat of an abbreviated season. And there's a lot of discussion about possibly moving our sport to spring. Springtime. I think there's some flexibility there with volleyball, probably more flexibility, I would think, than football. You know, football is just, there's just so many variables with the networks and TV. And as soon as you cross over into the basketball season, I think it's going to be really hard to manage for them. So I think they're doing everything they can to try to get football in. And sometime at some point in the fall, volleyball on their hand, it's much different. It would actually be beneficial for us if we had the time in the fall to train and get the kids ready. Then there wouldn't be such a need for us to come in the summer. So, and with the budget, and you know everyone taking the hits that we're taking, you know it would be, I think, a good thing if we didn't have to go to summer school and we could just start school at normal time in August, take the 4 months for the winter semester, and then start our season in the spring. But again, I mean, that's just me speculating on when might be the best time for us to start.
Well, you used a good word, speculating, because that's really a lot of what's going on right now is speculation about, you know, who's going to do what and when. You know, you had the California schools coming out today and saying their students aren't going to be on campus in the fall. You know, we don't know how that's going to affect everything. You know, we're sitting here wondering, you know, is the Pac-12 going to play sport, you know, fall sports without the California schools? What's going to happen there? But I think, you know, the idea that you just kind of have to go on and just do what you can seems to be the best thing. So, you know, what, you know, when you start just thinking about your season now, let's say, you know, everything works out and you're going to start playing in the fall. You know, what are you looking at? What kind of a team do you think you have? Where, you know, what's this recruiting class, you know, how's that going to work into, you know, what you're doing as a team? And, you know, just what's it look like for you guys?
Well, you know, we graduated six players from last year's team, and last year was a difficult year for us because of all the concussions that we got. We had three starters out all season long, and that was really a difficult part for us. And the kids who ended up graduating were, you know, 90% of our squad were starters. So we're only returning a handful of players who've actually been on the court. So we know that the incoming class is going to be very influential in regards to who's going to actually suit up and play. We have a tremendous amount of talent, as much talent coming in as I've had, and maybe since 2002 when we had Kim Glass and Jennifer Abernathy and Bree Ladd, who was at that time ranked the number one class in the country. This year, we're going to have a total of 9 players that are incoming. And so we know that of those 9, we'll probably play at least 6 of those kids on a pretty regular basis. But, you know, as you know, going from club volleyball or high school volleyball to the Pac-12 level volleyball, it takes some time. And you know, we'll see which players are able to step up and rise to the occasion. But certainly the talent is there.
What's Lauren Ware's situation? Obviously a two-sport person who's very talented in volleyball and basketball.
You know, we've been communicating with Lauren like we have with all the other players, and I think Adi and I are in lockstep with one another in terms of what her schedule is going to be. And so Lauren is 9 months in terms of her rehab and for her ACL that she suffered 9 months ago. And so she's ready to go. I think that once we, you know, whenever we start and whenever we're allowed to get those players on campus, she'll be there with our group and for volleyball in the season in the fall, and then she'll switch over to basketball as soon as our season is finished.
Dave, how's the talent in Arizona? I was a volleyball dad. My daughter played high school volleyball and was in the club thing. She also spent a year with an ACL, so she missed her junior year. But you know, it seems to me that there's a lot of talent here, and there's a lot of volleyball going on.
Well, there is. You know, volleyball has been one of the sports that's really blossomed here in the last 10 years in the state of Arizona. You know, when I first got hired here back in the early 90s, even despite this population, the level of talent that was that was being developed wasn't at the level that we could recruit even one or two players out of the state. And I always felt like if as soon as the club started to develop that talent, which they have now, that we would get at least a couple players that would come to Arizona and a couple of players would go to ASU. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. The talent's been terrific. There's probably a half dozen players or more that are capable of playing, certainly at the Pac-12 level and certainly at a Division I level. But it's been really difficult for us to be able to keep that talent home. A lot of those kids want to get recruited to California, and that's their number one choice is to go west and not to stay at home. And we've been fortunate. We have a young lady, her name is Jalen Hodge. She's the Gatorade Arizona Player of the Year. And so she's decided to stay and come to U of A. And she's probably the highest recruited player since Whitney Docey, which was back in 2006. So it's a tough road for us when it comes to recruiting in-state kids.
Let me ask you, we've got a couple of minutes on this break here, but it reminds me, you arrived here in the early 90s. How come you haven't changed in your look? You're like 25 years old and still preppy and all that stuff. What's up with that?
I was going to go there, Dave, because I was looking you up today and, you know, just... And you're older than me, but I look about 20 years older than you, and that really upsets me.
Well, it's the ballroom dancing, you guys. I'm going to encourage you guys to work on your stand steps.
Maybe that's it. You know, I'm not a ballroom dancer at all, but it's really upset me that every time I've seen you walk into, you know, Bob Dobbs or wherever I see you, and you look like you looked when you got here, and it's really upsetting to me.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I tell you, one of the most disappointing things in this whole thing is I don't see you guys at Trident, which is kind of where I go to lunch every single day.
Maybe okay. That's the key.
Okay, so now we got to cover the ballroom dancing thing. First of all, I got to tell you that was one of the greatest things I saw at the beginning of all of this. And, you know, I did this little dance video that my daughters got me to do, and it kind of blew up, and people were having fun with it. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, you were good. You were really good. And then I got to say, your mom was awesome.
I was going to say, it's all about the partner, you know. And my mom turns 83 at the end of June. And I remember when I was, you know, back when I was little, I mean, 8, 9 years old. And she was quite the dancer and teaching me all the different dance steps. And she just loved to dance. I remember growing up and she and my dad would go out and go dancing quite often. So I kind of give her all the credit.
So you said you were an instructor. So that means, one, you had to start dancing and you had to be really good at it to then be able to teach. How did that happen? I mean, seriously, how did you get interested in that, and how did that happen?
Well, not really. You don't have to be that good to instruct. I mean, I graduated from Cal State Northridge, and physical education was the major that I graduated with, and part of that was ballroom dance, and I loved to dance back then, so I took all the different ballroom dances, you know, all the classes, and when I got hired at Cal State Bakersfield, part of my salary was tied into teaching. So it wasn't just coaching alone. I had to teach 3 or 4 classes along with coaching. And one of the classes, they asked me, so is there a particular class that you'd like to teach? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I can teach remedial ballroom 101. And so for 5 years while I was at Cal State Bakersfield, I taught ballroom dance.
So Dave, when you do stuff like this on video, I think it kind of, the kids like it. The kids love it. You're kind of young again. Do they appreciate it, or how do they react to it? I'm talking about the players.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of the administrators have texted me and told me, it's like, this is like the best thing you could have done in terms of just showing a different side of me. And as, you know, we tend to be taskmasters. We're so, you know, as head coaches, we're so focused on prepping and coaching and preparing the kids and making them better. And so they have a really kind of a narrow scope of the kind of people that we are. And when you start to open things up, and that's why, you know, I try to get my kids in the video. And if you remember in the background they were playing the instruments, and, you know, there were some other videos that we put out that were, you know, that included my kids. And I think it's just really good that when the players can see the head coach in a different light, it helps to relate to them better, relate to me better. And in general, you know, our number one, for me anyway, number one goal is try to create a good relationship with my players. And it's tough to do that because we're all so busy during the school year. It's tough to spend any time with them other than being in the gym. And so this has actually been one of the best times I've been able to spend with the players outside of the gym on Zoom or these videos and get to know them a little bit better, and for them to get to know me certainly better as well.
Well, I got to say, you know, when that came out, you know, I was just sitting on my couch and I was flipping through my iPad and I watched it. Then I called my wife over and she watched it, and then called my daughter over and she watched it. So we watched it about 4 or 5 times just in that moment. And again, you know, it really does, you know, when you do something like that, it does give people another look at, you know, you guys are people, you know, and you have different interests and you've done different things in your lives. And I think that's one of the really interesting things about doing something like that, and, you know, seeing other coaches and personalities that do that type of stuff. So I got to tell you, we really appreciate it. I had fun. And then, like I said, I watched you, then I watched it again to watch your mom, and then I watched it again to, you know, just to kind of see it all come together. And then I watched it today. So I've had fun with it.
Well, thanks, Jay. I appreciate it. The only downside has been hard to follow up with that video.
Oh, that's true. That's true. What do you do now?
Yeah, exactly. What now?
So I've been asked. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, we're brainstorming over here to try to put something together, and they'll see what we can come up with.
Dave, we really appreciate you coming on. I always enjoy having you on the show.
We'll have to do this again.
Thank you, guys.
Yes,
absolutely. Anytime, and be safe and healthy, and hopefully we'll get this thing started. You know that you heard that Governor Ducey is opening things up.
Yes,
you know, the gyms are opening up, and so I think that bodes well for our state and certainly for our universities and the ability for the student athletes and the students to get on campus.
We can never live without hope.
Exactly,
that's what we've been living on for a while. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks so much, Dave.
Living without sports.
Yeah, true so, that too. Thanks, Dave. That was Dave Rubio from the U of A volleyball team. Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice with Jay Gonzalez and Steve Rivera. That was a good interview. The thing I got the most kick out of was obviously the ballroom dancing, but if they possibly move the sport to the spring.
Well, as he said, as Dave said, they've got some flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, football, it's such a beast. You know, what are you going to do with that? And even basketball, to a certain degree. But some of the other sports, you know, they do have some flexibility. Of course, you need to have the arena available and that type of stuff. But, you know, people are just going to have to adjust,
right.
and we're going to have to adjust to when we watch our sports and how we watch our sports. And I think that you're going to see a lot of that, and there's going to be a lot of weird things happening over the next several months. For the next school year, and you could see a volleyball, you know, move into the spring,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even gymnastics or some of these other sports get moved around. You know, when are they going to play softball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kinds of things.
Even the spring is not safe because we don't know.
It's just the reality of what we're looking at, and I think we all have to throw out an old Rich Rod comment. We're going to have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yep, that's true
because this is uncomfortable for a lot of reasons, and you know, sports is probably the least important of all those reasons, but nonetheless. You know, if you're a sports fan and your daily existence revolves around sports like a lot of us, you're going to have to get used to the fact that things aren't going to be the same, at least for a while. And we're going to have to do things a little different. And, you know, we're going to I'm hoping that we're still going to turn on golf in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
The PGA Tour is supposed to be back in about 4 weeks, and they're going to play without fans, and we're going to watch these guys golf. You've got this event coming up with Tiger Woods and mm-hmm. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and we're going to watch that. And it's just going to be interesting to see how
different.
These things are going to develop and what we're going to look at. You know, what's the NBA going to do? Are they going to start playing? And, you know, they're talking about so many different things and just getting everybody in one place and mm-hmm. playing games. And what's that going to look like? And we're just going to have to get used to it.
Right, right. The one thing I thought was the difficulty with the arena and things like that. But you have Richard Jefferson, so you can move some of those sports in
sure.
there.
Sure. You know, I mean, you can have those things in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if McHale's not available for a volleyball match, maybe, you know, the TCC is available,
mm-hmm.
you know, or some other venue, or even a high school gym, you know, a good
well, if there's not going to be a good-sized
high school gym or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, what's been one of the things that I think that is kind of overlooked is how people have been thinking quick on their feet with all the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean even the hospitals and I'm just saying this because I'm working on something relating to the medical response in Tucson. I'm working on a project on that and people have really had to think quickly and do things that normally would have taken them a long time to noodle through,
mm-hmm.
try and come up with all the solutions and come up with a perfect scenario and execute something. Whereas because of this, people are executing things that they're not having a chance to put a lot of thought into and just doing the best they can.
Are you noticing people doing it on their own or in groups?
You're seeing, I think what you're seeing is people doing stuff in groups and talking to each other.
And you know, that typically doesn't do well.
And it doesn't, you know, people tend to be very territorial about what they
exactly,
do.
Exactly.
And what you've seen, particularly in this community, is you've seen people come together and talk to each other and try to figure out ways to do things. You know, they're doing that at the college level. They're doing that at the pro level, where everybody's talking and trying to figure out the best thing for everybody.
It's funny because how do we start the show with the California stuff? And Larry Scott didn't.
Yeah, and they went off the reservation on that one, and we don't know what the heck happened and why. You know, nobody knew that they were coming out with this announcement, because it seemed like everybody was talking. So who knows what's happening out there? But people are talking, and they are.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to figure out things. I know that, you know, when I was at the Sugar Skulls and this thing started to happen, you know, I was in contact with, you know, some people with, I didn't talk to Bob Hoffman, but I talked to some other people at the Roadrunners. I talked to some people at, you know, the U of A club hockey team. We were just talking. We were talking to other teams in our league, just trying to figure out how to do things.
So let me ask you, because you asked the question of Bob Hoffman of when he thought things were going to go, or how he said April 1st. So what were you? What was your deadline date?
Well, we threw out sort of first it was an April 30 date that we were hoping that we would have an idea of when we could play.
And you could have still played.
Right. And then when it became, okay, we're now to May 30th, and it was, okay, if we can start right at the 1st of June, this thing can still happen. And it, you know, and it looked like that, you know, I mean, we were hoping against hope, but you know, it didn't happen. And so, you know, it just kept pushing along. And you know what, when you really think about it, there really was never any hope.
We
thought there was, but there really wasn't, because there was just, it's, I mean, it's still too uncertain right now.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Like I say, that's why I asked him about the drop dead date, and it's not even drop dead, but if it gets to July with no decision, you know, it's not going to be good. It's not good now.
It's not. And these, you know, all of these teams, I mean, everybody wants the best thing, but in the end, everybody wants to play their games and run their business. Cause for the most part, these are all businesses and they need the revenue to be able to, you know, survive and continue on. You know, the U of A cannot cancel the football season.
No, that's just physically, I mean, financially.
They just can't financially, you know, cancel the football season. So, you know, in the end, everybody's just trying to, you know, hope for the best and hope that these things are going to happen. But, you know, the reality of what we're looking at is still there. And we just, you know, we can't rush it too much. We have to be able to know that whatever we're going to do, it's going to work. And it's very hard. It's very hard right now.
Yeah, there's no answers. When you have no answers, it's, you just kind of like shooting in the dark, hoping something hits.
Right. You're just muddling along, and everybody's hoping for the best. And you know, dominoes keep falling in different directions. Like we've said, we keep talking about dominoes. Well,
we got to stop playing dominoes.
Right, a domino fell towards the good with Governor Ducey and his announcement today. And then, you know, within a couple of hours, one goes the other way, and it's kind of like, what are we going to do? You know, but people have to do the right thing. And that's really what has to happen in the end.
Last thoughts, Mr. Thomas?
Boy, there's so much going on, or not going on, but by that token going on. I think if you don't have a plan in place in June, then I don't see how you get anything done in the fall. I don't see how the NBA resumes without something set in stone in the first week of
June. I just don't see them resuming.
I don't either.
I just don't.
I know they want to, and I know the NHL is going to push. I know baseball wants to play. And you know what, Steve? Spring football would not be the worst thing in the world if that's what it comes down to. The NFL starting late would not be the worst thing in the world. But I really feel like if June comes and goes and we have no real answers.
Yeah, it's over.
For the calendar year, it is over.
I unfortunately think
right. Say uncle.
I unfortunately think you're right. I think June is sort of a benchmark kind of date that there has to be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's our light at the end of the tunnel, because we're closing up right now. It's getting dark. Hey, good show today.
Yep, it was a great show. Great having Dave Rubio and Bob Hoffman on. We're just rolling through all the stuff going on locally.
Yeah, see what we have tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Take care, everybody.